Welcome to Grand Central. Embark on a multi-generational journey of conversations filled with insight, encouragement, and wisdom. A special time set aside for grandparents. Here's your host, best-selling author, acclaimed speaker, and devoted grandfather, best known as Pop Pop, Tim Huff.
And welcome, Grand Central listeners. I'm so pleased and thankful that we can spend a bit of time together with you again. As ever, I hope and pray that maybe there's something encouraging or inspiring for you on this episode. My very special guest today is Kathy Ostapchuk. And I am well overdue to have a grandmother join me in studio. And as I told her, Kathy was the first name on my list to invite. Thank you, Kathy, for joining us.
It's a privilege to be here.
How are you doing? I'm doing well.
Very well.
Good. Kathy, our paths have crossed in friends groups and ministry groups and church groups for years. And I want to say, and for the listeners to hear and know this, that I have great admiration for your sense of calling and vision and the heartbeat you have for lifting up others and for servant leadership. With all that said, while many of our listeners likely know you already, I want all of our listeners to get to know you. So before we get to the grandparenting part, can you tell us a bit about what you do, about Gather?
Oh, Gather. Yes. So as many women do, I have reinvented myself several times over the years, depending on what season I was in. So I started out in the arts, conducting, performing, worship, all that sort of thing. And then...
So the musical side of the arts.
The musical side of the arts, yeah, for sure. And then... my direction kind of pivoted at one point, and I ended up into leadership. I never really wanted to ever work with women. It was the farthest thing from my mind, because a lot of women don't like women's things. But then God pulled me into this.
You mean they don't like women-specific things? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and it's just a perception that it's all pink and doilies, and we do frivolous things.
I see. Okay, got it. Right.
But... Gather really came about because I was always going back to the States. That's where I did a lot of my training, Bible school, Moody, Biola. And I kept coming back to Canada thinking, you know, what's going on in Canada? And I had two young adult daughters at the time, and they were not engaged or excited to be part of the church in a way that I thought they should be. Mm. And I think, you know, women are more than half the world and more than half the church. And here's a huge demographic with a lot of women just sitting on the sidelines because they don't know where they belong. And so I started to think, okay, what could we do in Canada? I thought everything was happening outside of our border. And I heard a sermon by Eugene Cho that said, the grass is always greener on the other side. Go home and water your own grass. I'm going, okay, I'll go home and see what the mission field is. And Jill Briscoe always said to me too, it's the space between your own two feet. So wow. I started looking at Canada and really began adopting it as, you know, a place that I loved and I was, you know, born to serve. And so when you start to see something as your own, you take it on and you carry it as responsibility. And so just Gather came out of a desire to connect Canadian women coast to coast, Christian women.
And how long ago was that?
9 years.
9 years.
Yeah. And... just starting to gather women and say, what are your needs? Like, who has impacted you? Where are they? How do you find each other? We're the second largest country in the world. And we, therefore, the space between us is so great.
The geography.
So but yet our demographic, you know, we can fit in the size of California.
Right.
So how do we find each other? And how do we lessen the distance between us? So connecting women, equipping female leaders is huge for me, just leadership development, calling up, raising up, releasing, and then mobilizing the female church in Canada. And that may not be sacred to a lot of people because, you know, how can we say female church? Well, there's a very specific place for, you know, the female representation of Christ in the world. So that's what Gather does.
Wow. Now, if there are people that are interested in knowing more about it, how would they find out?
Gatherwomen.com.
Gatherwomen.com. So if you have your pens and papers or devices, gatherwomen.com. Very cool. And plans for the year ahead?
We are discerning. There's so many opportunities. We're asking the question, what is the one thing we cannot not do?
Mm.
Yeah. I also work a little bit with the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, and there's a lot of opportunities there. So I created a matrix for all the things that are serving women in Canada, and every ministry has a place, and we want to collaborate, not compete. So I think it's, what is the one thing for Gather that we cannot not do?
Now I'm thinking about the grandparents listening into the show, and they're hearing a grandmother talk about all these wildly, like massive, because of the size of the nation, visions and dreams. I know we're going to get into the grandparenting part of things, but just following the flow of the conversation, you started this before you were a grandparent, just before you were a grandparent. And have you found in the last decade that you're like, wow, the vision is more exciting than ever, more exhausting than ever? Like, think about our listeners that might be at grandparenting age. How would you inform them if they're still carrying a vision?
I think you need to begin to access sort of this prophetic imagination, because you can't conform to the North American idea of this is what grandparenting looks like. This is what the season looks like. So everybody's due retirement. Everybody's due, you know, an easier life, like more rest. Yes, maybe. But I think in this third half, which is what I like to call it, you're called into something that is actually the culmination of all the years of experience, all the fails, all the successes. No matter how healthy you are, you know, you still have something to offer.
Right.
I think of the person who's maybe just no physical ability. Even if you're, lying in a bed, you can pray, you know, at the very least. But there's so much more. We just have to change our perspective and look at even biblically, like Joshua stepped into his calling when he was 80, right? So, I mean, Moses' mother had him when she was like over 100. So same with Sarah. I mean, biblically, there is a narrative that says you start to step into the years of your greatest impact if you're intentional, and if you don't hold your position, and you have to hold your position.
Wow, that's profound. And to receive it uniquely. So suppose I'm at home and I hear Kathy, and I'm like, wow, but she's got so much capacity, or people, or contacts, and she's got a vision for the nation. But that's okay if you're listening and you have a vision for your neighborhood or your street or your seniors building. It's unique to how you're going to share. We all know that comparison is like the enemy, to compare ourselves to one another.
Yeah. And do not compare yourselves with me. I honestly consider myself a sloth, if that makes sense. I feel like I listen to Jill Briscoe, and, you know, she's late 80s, probably early 90s. What she has done is write all of her notes in her Bible that she's made over all of her years of ministry, and she's been everywhere in the world, and she's written them in separate Bibles for all her grandchildren. And I'm going, oh, I wish I could be like that, you know? So wherever you are, whatever your season is, whatever your wellness state is, you can do something. And you're right, it's going to be unique for you.
You and I chatted a bit about this last week when we were preparing about what we would talk this week, though. It's interesting. I would say for me, definitely in my 30s and 40s, I was way more, I don't know if it was worried is the right word, but my mind would get trapped in comparisons, or what should I be doing, or what does success look like, or those things. I'm as busy and as committed to the mission that's in front of me now, but I don't carry those thoughts in the same way at this stage in life. There's almost a freedom to just enjoy entering in and give it the best of what I got.
There's lots of freedom, although I will say, I have asked myself, how can I be more like Tim Huff?
Oh,
because
goodness.
You know, that's what we want, is to be free of that. And no matter how old you are, you know, for women, the ageism thing works against us. Like, I don't even want to tell people how old I am because they're going to think, oh, you're too old for anything. But I look at you and you just do what you need to do. You can be Tim and you're free of, I think, some of the trappings too. Even when you're this age, I'm comparing myself to people that are 15 years older and they're really, they're on missions trips, they're doing this and that. And I'm going, oh my gosh, like, I've got to keep turning the wheels, but you don't. You know, you just need to,
Well, I almost don't know what to say about that. I do know that I got past my, when I hit 50, and I just turned 60 last year, when I hit 50, I got past the idea that I was overly burdened by what kind of legacy I was leaving. I mean, I wanted to leave a legacy of, you know, trying to do my best, but it wasn't like, well, I have to have this many best-selling books or I have to have my name showing this much. Well, and to tell you the truth, as we were talking before we came on there, social media and stuff, like I do a bit of it, but in the friendliest of ways. Like my social media is my motorcycle, my grandson, my black lab, occasionally a picture of my wife and I on a trip. Like, it is never political. It's seldom ministry-oriented. If it is, it's to, like, say, listen to Kathy on our radio show and stuff like that. So, like, even the sense of legacy, like, if I would have been 30 years old when in this technical age, I don't know, I might have gone crazy. Like, that would have been hard for me because I was in that point of saying, oh, how do I do like this and how do I do like this and how do I watch Rick Tobias and not be like, say, like, well, we should all aspire to be that, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's proximity. Yeah. You know, you have to be influencing the people closest to you. You know, we're so concerned about the outer circles over which we have no influence.
Right.
Like my husband will, you know, he'll yell at the TV screen if there's a golf tournament and it's like, you know, he's yelling at Tiger Woods or for something or other. I'm going, you actually have no influence whatsoever over Tiger Woods. Like it's a lot of, but you do have influence in the people that are right beside you. And so as it has to do with grandparenting, I could spend so much time on social media trying to reach people who I have actually no influence over. I'm not responsible for them, but I am responsible for the people that come in my world every day.
And we're still allowed to leave space for people to yell at sports on TV, even when we're doing.
Well, I'm a little bit upset with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay,
I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, there we go.
I'm sorry.
We all have our have our soft spots when it comes to these discussions. You know what? Our episode for today is almost done. We got into such a dialogue. So, Kathy, to our listeners, the good news is Kathy's on for the next couple of weeks. So make sure you tune in next week as Kathy and I get into some really interesting stuff. We're going to talk about legacy and adventure and character and all kinds of things that we think as grandparents you'll find interesting and inspirational and hopefully relatable. As always, I want to leave you with our benediction. As you know, a benediction is meant to be a blessing. So I hate to ever send anyone off without some kind of blessing or some kind of words that maybe will reach their heart or their mind or their soul. So however this finds you, I pray it brings you peace and some goodness in your world. May peace and joy be abundant on your grandparenting journey. May you find comfort in knowing you have done your very best to be at your best during this profound and reflective chapter in your life. And may the expressions of your tender heart bring great light and goodness to the precious young ones that you cherish. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Thank you for joining us for Grand Central. Engaged and loving grandparents have proven over and over to be life-giving and life-changing in young lives throughout history. But the need for grandparents and all they have to offer has perhaps never been as great as it is today. The Grand Central goals are to inspire, honor, and help resource grandparents on their journey of goodness. If you're a grandparent or grandfriend and would like to share your experience or leave a thoughtful comment, please visit grand-central.ca. Tune in to Grand Central with Tim Huff every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Joy. Grand Central is a Youth Unlimited initiative.